This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to keep up with everything going on right here at 92.9 FM ESPN, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you have to do is search for 92.9, subscribe, and you'll be able to keep up with everything going on here at 92.9, you can even listen on demand. If you missed a segment, you can go back, hit the rewind feature, go back and listen. Also, with the chaptering, it's easier to go and listen to particular segments on demand. So it's all right there, the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. Dennis Fuller is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My partner in crime, as he is each and every Tuesday and Friday, is, of course, a host at VSiN, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time. Also the host of VSiN Primetime each and every weeknight on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, hello. We haven't been traded yet, so, you know, that's a positive. Everyone else seems to have traded.
I can't tell if it's just because it's big name receivers or, you know, where they're going. I almost feel like in the last few years, the NFL trade deadline has increased in at least attention, while the NBA trade deadline, which used to kind of be, you know, oh my God, this league, I feel like it's been kind of boring the last few years. And I don't know if that's anecdotal. I don't know if that's, if that's maybe perception and that's not rooted in reality. I mean, I think it's safe to say the original trade deadline used to be baseball. Now, I don't know if there's so many transactions or baseball's become such a regional sport that keeping up with it on a national level is very difficult, even for guys that like baseball like us. There's no question, like, to me, like, baseball trade deadline has decreased in attention. But it does feel like as we approach the NFL trade deadline, like, it feels like it's kind of ramped up in past years.
Yeah, I would say, I know I'm trying to think I should have been more researched on that, but I would say in not that long ago, the NFL deadline, trade deadline, you didn't even knew existed. Like, it was like, what? Oh.
How are you gonna get a guy in and learn the playbook in this? And then it's like, oh, when we found out Baker learned an entire playbook on a Southwest flight from Cleveland to LA, it's like, oh, maybe guys can be of use.
Yeah, and especially wide receivers, like, all right, go run these routes.
Yeah.
You'll indoctrinate yourself quite quickly there, or running back, whatever it may be. Yeah, baseball is kind of funny because the expanded playoff has kind of hurt the deadline, which, you know, used to be like a national holiday at the end of July, you know, buyers and sellers. And now majority of these players, you don't know who they are. Every once in a while, you get a blockbuster. The irony this year of the deadline was that the Tigers traded off their second best pitcher and then they made it to the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, so
they are to me, like, I always think the us versus everyone gets overdone. They are the one team that I have no problem when they said nobody believed in us, because even their own management didn't believe in them.
No one believed in them. And I know I was kind of hoping they would be in this round of the postseason, but they are not. And the Cleveland Guardians got beat up pretty good yesterday. But yeah, Amari Cooper going to the Bills to me is much more of the interesting storyline than Devontae to the Jets. I mean, I get why that would be much more of a story, considering it's Aaron Rodgers, but the team that is now 4-2, very much in the driver's seat to win the AFC East, arguably the MVP of the league at this point in Josh Allen, he just got a legit number one receiver, and his wide receivers, to be honest, had stunk this year. I mean, you trade Stephon Diggs, which I think was addition by subtraction, but you needed a true number one guy, and now I think you get that in Amari Cooper. So of the two trades today, what's more impactful? I think it's a no doubter. It's Amari Cooper.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on in hour number two, because I agree with you. There are a few other thoughts that I want to kind of discuss, because I do think I'm with you. I think it's probably the more interesting move, at least in terms of the entire competitiveness of the NFL. But let's celebrate what we've got coming up on the program. I've done a little bit of research. While maybe some of the research is flawed, I think a couple of the trends and notes are interesting as it pertains to college football, so I want to discuss that with Tim. We'll start with that. Then we'll take a break. We'll come back next segment. We'll get into our weekly awards for college football. We'll get into the list. We will start the list with Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, the other big stories of the day, at least in terms of national interest. Perhaps the Steelers are going to Russ. I don't know. We'll talk about that. Also, we found out what the actual crux of the meeting between the Big Ten and the SEC last week in Nashville. We figured out what they are up to, so I want to discuss that a little bit. We also have some Tuesday, Wednesday night football, but more importantly, I think you had a pretty good week gambling, right?
Okay. It's I don't know what it is.
Just moving chips around the table, tipping the dealer and leaving.
I don't know what it is. I feel like I've gotten a bunch of good reads, and the bets that I kind of end up messing around with ultimately don't come home. You know, the main one being, you know, messing around with Vanderbilt, you know, taking Kentucky in that spot was not great. But yeah, all in all, I mean, home dogs were barking again, and that's usually means a good weekend for yours truly. West Virginia was one that I did not get right. Iowa State ultimately pulled away in that one. I thought Avery Johnson would run a bunch on Saturday night. That was apparently just give the ball to DJ Giddens, and he will run all over Colorado. But yeah, I would say overall a pretty decent weekend. I think I'm kind of starting to get a feel, but you say that and then you get your teeth smashed.
Well, I liked the focus we had last week. We came in, I told you last week, I was like, we need winners. And we looked at the board early. And so I think we might do that a little bit during hour number two as
Louisville.
Well. Louisville, you're already all over. How many players does Notre Dame have, by the way, now? I'm not even trying to rub it in. I just feel like every week I look up and I see somebody's out for the year. I'm like,
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy week for a lot of, you know, decent sized players. You know, Graham Mertz done for the year, Cam Rising done for the year. You know, Torrey Horton, that's more of a fringe player, but I think a pro wide receiver at Colorado State. But yeah, that was, you know, for Notre Dame winning in the fashion that they did, and the offense actually looking pretty decent, and the chips kind of falling the way that they are, and their win against Texas A&M continuing to look better and better each and every week. I even heard one prominent podcaster say that Texas A&M should be ranked ahead of Notre Dame, which I thought was interesting, considering, you know, Notre Dame won head-to-head in College Station, but I digress. But yeah, losing Benjamin Morrison, who is probably not a household name, but he's a first-round pick, and he's the most talented player on their roster. And this kind of came out of nowhere. I got a text on Sunday saying, hey, apparently Benjamin Morrison might be banged up. And I was like, really? That's not good. And then Marcus Freeman announced yesterday. So, yeah, for Notre Dame, they've now lost their top two edge rushers for the season. Their top corner is now out for the year. Preseason, they lost their left tackle. So it's been a lot of attrition there for the Irish. But they're 5-1, and they'll be a favorite in every game moving forward. So they'll probably make the playoff. But if they do make the playoff, they're not going to make any noise. And they're probably a bet-against team in the first round if they were to make the playoff.
Well, I'm glad you started there, because this is – and again, I – when you're in our business and you have to have opinions, oftentimes I think you get mischaracterized as quote-unquote know-it-all, because I definitely do not view myself as that. I find myself to be a naturally curious person, and when I'm watching stuff, I'm like, I wonder. I think this year we are getting addicted to declaring teams dead, and what I think what we're starting to see is... listen, I'm not saying a three-loss team is going to get into the playoff, but you know what? I'm not convinced that one won't.
Oh, we're definitely, I mean...
and I should say it's an at-large. I mean, because who knows? In some of these leagues, if you win the league, who knows? I'm talking about, I just am not comfortable saying a three-loss Georgia team is not getting in.
Well, and that's kind of an interesting discussion, too, about USC. Like, USC...
sure.
It's 3-3. They have a win over LSU, which continues to look better. LSU is now ranked 8th in the AP poll. USC beat them on a neutral field. USC, now, they've got a really bad loss to Minnesota. They blew it against Michigan. And they lost in overtime at home to the number 3 team in the country. Like, USC, to me, is a really fascinating case study for how this year goes. Now, are they going to run the table from here on out? Probably not. But everyone has written them off, and I would say, I mean, yes, the Minnesota loss is not good. It's not horrendous.
It's not horrendous. And
it's not
also
Northern Illinois.
And let's say if they – so they're 3-3 right now, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's say they...
with a win over LSU.
Right, let's say they rip off 6 straight. One of the talking points about that is going to be, hey, man, that wasn't officiated correctly. Like, we're not saying it was, like, the blown call, and, yeah, they could have won the game in other ways, but, like, we will do the move. When we're trying to explain a way to get a USC in, let's be real, they will do the move where they will point out that, this game was... it had some controversy in the way that it ended. Like, they'll kind of diplomatically explain it, but basically what they'll say is like, we kind of counted that as like a tie.
So I'm not trying to make this whole first segment about USC, but I think the point you made about eliminating teams is too quick to do. So let's say USC's remaining schedule is this: at Maryland, home to Rutgers, at Washington, home to Nebraska, at UCLA, home to Notre Dame. They could run the table.
They could rip off 6 straight, and then they would also have,
LSU,
as we talked about the Notre Dame, like, Notre Dame is banged up. Like, at a certain point, like, but that's still not going to be a nothing burger, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean...
it's kind of a good spot to get Notre Dame in the sense that you don't have to play them at full strength, and they're still going to have some cachet.
Look, Notre Dame, looking at their schedule... they play Georgia Tech this weekend, who may or may not have their starting quarterback. And if Georgia Tech doesn't have Haynes King, they're irrelevant. Like, they're awful.
Completely agree.
Notre Dame then plays Navy. Do you need a corner to beat Navy? No. Notre Dame then plays Florida State off a bye. Enough said. Play Virginia on Senior Day. They play Army. Notre Dame should be, and the strong emphasis on should, because they lost to Northern Illinois as a 28-point favorite earlier this year. Notre Dame should be 10-1 going into the USC game. And if USC, which, once again, this is all if. I'm not saying it's happening, but I'm trying to make to your point about eliminating USC because they lost to Penn State, Michigan, and Minnesota on the road with a win over LSU. And then Notre Dame's going to be a top 10 team if they're 10-1 going into that game on Thanksgiving weekend. Like, You may not like it, but it's going to happen. And Notre Dame will be on the verge of clinching a playoff berth. So if USC wins that game, it could be fascinating to see how it all plays out. So to your overall point, we don't know yet. We're so used to eliminating teams because of one result, and that's the way we kind of learned it with the playoff. Now, you could lose to Northern Illinois. You can lose to Vanderbilt, even though that doesn't look so bad now. You can lose to Minnesota. And I think you still can get into the playoff if the resume looks the way that it is. And you know, you look around the landscape, man, everyone keeps losing.
And that's, to me, the biggest point. I think what we're seeing is, particularly in the SEC, because I was thinking about this.
Does 9-3 Ole Miss get in?
So they become a fascinating case study. I think that becomes a question of who else. What is the resume of everybody else?
How about this? Does 9-3 Ole Miss with a win over Georgia get in?
Well, see, then that becomes fascinating, because what happens if Texas beats Georgia this weekend in Austin? That will be Georgia's second loss. And essentially, that game in Oxford, does that become a de facto play-in, play-out game, elimination game?
I don't know.
Both would be 9-3. You'd have a head-to-head win. Now it's at home, and you know, like I don't know. Like to me, it becomes the real question. I think, because I've been harping on this, and I know that you know this, but I think in the SEC in particular, fans really have to start adopting an NFL mindset, because I think what we're seeing in the SEC is, other than, let's set aside Mississippi State, the rosters really, but on any given Saturday, are not that much different. There's other rosters that have better quarterback play. There's other rosters that maybe have higher top-end talent. But, I mean, we've seen with Vanderbilt, like, Vanderbilt's roster is, like, this isn't a fluke what they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have a good enough roster. Now, can they sustain injuries at the level that Georgia can, that Alabama, that Texas can? I don't know, because that's a big question for me this week is, so far, I have thought Texas has been the only SEC team that hasn't really farted around. Like, yeah, they played a bad first quarter offensively, but there's two sides of the football. Oklahoma had no prayer against them on offense. And so Texas has been like the team that's passed the eye test to me. But I mean, what if we get into a situation this week and you think, okay, I think Texas is better, I think Georgia's flawed, and then Georgia goes, and one thing we haven't really seen Texas have to do, we've not seen them have to play a high-end passing game. And Georgia's going to have that.
It's been relatively easy this year for Texas. And that's a credit to them. That's a credit to them for not missing a beat when they went from Quinn Ewers to Arch Manning, albeit against inferior competition.
Although maybe it's their best win of the year.
But UL Monroe?
Or just saying. State?
Yeah. You know, you go to the big house and you win. It was easier than said than done.
You basically put the game away at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, but Michigan is very flawed, and they weren't playing their best quarterback in that game. They were maybe playing their third best quarterback in Davis Horn, as opposed to Jack Tuttle. Not saying that Michigan would have beat Texas with Jack Tuttle in there, but I think Jack Tuttle is the best quarterback on that roster that makes them the most interesting. Oklahoma's inept offensively. They have no offense. Like, we can put... We do this game all the time where we poke holes into everybody. Yep. Texas is probably the best team in the country, has proved it so far this year. However, there are teams with better wins, no doubt. Like, you can't even, I mean, Oregon beating Ohio State, you know, Alabama beating Georgia, Vandy beating Alabama, whatever it may be. So this is kind of a prove me type of situation here. Look, I bet Georgia today. I took four. I just, like, if you're going to go out and beat up on Georgia, the reigning national champ, who is definitely vulnerable, but it feels a little bit like to me, and I ran into this a little bit towards like the end of the Belichick Brady era in New England when they started to be dogs in some decent spots, and I'm like, all right, prove it to me. And it was kind of over. You're like, all right, maybe it's over. But Georgia didn't look great against Mississippi State, to say the least. You know, a backup quarterback is having success against them with a roster that, as you correctly pointed out, is probably the least talented roster in the whole conference. This Georgia team has looked flawed outside of their win over Clemson. Oh, by the way, that win did happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the best wins. I didn't even mention it, and that's a mistake by me. Georgia,
because we were too busy after Labor Day weekend of declaring Clemson was dead.
Right. And what happened? They've pulverized everyone.
Undertaker gif.
And Cade Klubnik is now like top five in Heisman odds. And Clemson is the favorite to win the ACC after everybody fell in love with Miami. And now, little old Clemson, to quote Dabo, this is exactly what he wants. People wrote him off. I'm sure it's been nothing but, you know, everyone wrote us off. Little old Clemson. Like, this has worked perfectly into Dabo's hands. Like, Georgia beat Clemson on a neutral field. I know it was in Atlanta, but still, they beat him on a neutral field by 31 points. That was never a game. Like, Clemson's defense was decent in the first half, but they could do nothing offensively. And now Cade Klubnik, as mentioned, top five in Heisman odds. So if Texas goes out there and beats up on Georgia, hey, man, tip of the cap to you. But I'm really supposed to just expect Texas to cover north of a field goal with ease against Georgia? Okay, prove it to me.
And it's also why, like, on Saturday, the way college football works, you can't have a tie. Alabama or Tennessee is going to have two losses.
Yep. Tennessee could have lost on Saturday. I don't know why Billy Napier doesn't go for two. Makes no sense to me. You're about to get fired. Your quarterback's done for the year, even though DJ Lagway, I'm sure in many people's eyes, they would prefer him to be the starter anyway.
Yeah.
You score a touchdown with 30 seconds to go on the road. Go for it, man.
I did not understand. Well, then also, you threw out the trick play, and then you call timeout, and you change your mind. But the reason why I mentioned that, and going back to your point about what would Ole Miss at 9-3 look like, well, my gut says I would say 9-3 Ole Miss probably doesn't get in, because likely the way you would game it out is
Ole Miss won't have a signature win.
Correct. Like
they need to beat Georgia and lose to Arkansas. Like, that kind of has to be the blueprint.
Yeah, like, and then you have Arkansas.
Georgia beat, like, you could look, we could play a scenario right now pretty easily. Georgia beats Texas. Ole Miss loses to Arkansas, beats Georgia, beats Florida, beats Mississippi State. 9-3 Ole Miss is getting in over Georgia, especially if Georgia, if they win that game, I think they're in the driver's seat then to go to the SEC championship. By the way, the scenarios for SEC championship are going to be wild.
Because if Texas wins this week,
they're like a lock to go to the championship game, I think.
Well, then it could be one of the, this is something we don't ever talk about. I think there's a scenario in play where we could get a
rematch.
We always do the whole, we're going to get Navy, Army back-to-back weeks. We could get Texas and Texas A&M twice in a row.
Texas A&M is undefeated in conference play, and their remaining schedule is at Mississippi State, home to LSU, at South Carolina, New Mexico State, at Auburn. They're going to be a favorite in every one of those games. They will be a home favorite against LSU. They will be a road favorite at Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Auburn. Like, Mike Elko's squad should be 10-1 going into the Texas game. Should be. Not saying will be, but they should be.
And this is kind of like, this is why. But, you know, and then it's like, what if they're 9-2? And like, I think there are more losses coming. And I think that we're just thinking about it in terms of the way it's always been, where there's been a nice hierarchy, because these are a couple of the numbers that I looked at. This is SEC play only. Do you know what favorite's record against the spread in SEC play is?
Straight up or against the spread?
Against the spread, and then I think I can do it from memory.
I'm assuming if you're asking this, it's pretty low. So I'll say like 40%.
Okay, it's lower than that. Try 33%. 6-18, 9-9 straight up. Of those 9 straight up wins,
hold on. 6-12.
I got it at 6-18. I got a database.
Well, no, I'm saying is if it's 6-18, oh, yeah. Then you said 9-9
sorry.
Straight up.
Yeah, sorry. So then it would be 12. No, so it's they have so it's 24. So they should be 9-15 straight up.
Oh.
But okay. Yeah. But 9-15 straight up. Of those 9 wins, 5 are by double digit underdogs. So wow. For people that want context, let me let you know just how out of sorts this is. In the other power leagues, the ACC favorites in league play, 10-12-2. That's kind of typically what we see. You know what I mean? It's going to be somewhere around 500. Favorites may be a little bit worse just because you're not catching points. The Big 12, 11-12-2. The Big 10, 14-14-1. The SEC is the giant outlier in this. In 2023, favorites went 35-18-2. And there was no underdog of more than a touchdown that won outright. 21-31-2 in 2022, so that's slightly below. And then in 2021, 26-29-1. Every other league, when you start looking it up, because I always go back to post-COVID, because that's when everything changes. That's when you get the freedom of movement. You have NIL. If you're writing a history book, post-2020 is going to be a different period of college football. And so my first thought was, all right, is this kind of an indicator that maybe the SEC is not that good? Well, again, it's sample size, and I understand this isn't a perfect survey, but straight up against other Power 5 conferences, non-con, they're 10-6. They're 8-3 as a favorite. So they went 2-3 as an underdog outright. And when you start to look at it historically, last year they were 5-8 in those games, 7-5 in 2022, 8-4 in 2021. I did not do bowl games because bowl games, as everyone knows who watches bowl games, like you can't really, those are coin flips. I mean, you know what I mean? Like they're not, more times than not, like you don't know which teams are playing, which teams aren't. I'm trying to take games what I think are going to at least be competitive structurally. And so if I wanted to start by saying, because I kind of had that question of when I'm watching the SEC, I'm going like, is this good? I think the answer is it's good, but it's just there actually is parity within the league, and it makes sense to me when you think about it. This is the part of the country that cares about football the most, college football the most. Therefore, it's going to have the best NIL of, relatively speaking, it's going to have stronger NILs given their counterparts, and to me, it makes sense that this league has kind of evened out. Would you buy that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Vanderbilt is kind of the outlier where they don't really have, I mean, you live in the state, but I think it's fair to say there's not much of a local following for Vanderbilt. It's more of a national school. It's an academic school, and they're winning. But you think about Arkansas, you think about, hell, even Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, these are going to be challenging places to go win no matter who you are. Tennessee learned that going on the road to Arkansas. I mean, LSU, they're a power, but they were a home underdog last weekend. It's really, really brutal to go out there and take care of business. So you look at these rosters right now. The AP poll, of course, means nothing, but it's worth mentioning. You got 8 of the top 19 teams in the country in the top 20 or top 19. And, you know, Texas A&M, I'm sure they'd love a redo against Notre Dame week one.
The game counted.
But it did count, and they were at home, and Connor Wegman looks much better now than he did then. But yeah, man, it's a war. And you know, to your point about the NFL model, that's kind of what, yeah, you have to get used to that, because you'll be able to, I think the committee is going to be more understanding for a loss. And let's be honest, right? The two best conferences in the country, the SEC and the Big Ten, are kind of proving that. I mean, the Big Ten right now has three of the top four teams in the country based off of the rankings. And they've got really massive home field advantages, as we saw on Saturday night.
Yeah. I think it's perfect that Big Ten favorites are 14 and 14, because it's just like, oh yeah, home or road.
Right. Well, and now you've got this travel wrinkle too.
Exactly.
Where you're seeing these teams travel all over the place. And
their, you know, travel with their new teams is wildly different than the SEC new teams.
Yeah, I mean, USC got no favors whatsoever. I mean, we talked about Army on a lower level last week with the AAC. Texas's schedule is pretty manageable. They get Georgia at home. Here you go, USC. You have to go to Michigan. You have to go to Minnesota. Go to Maryland. And, I mean, you get to host Penn State, which, you know, didn't. The problem, I'm so curious about USC. I know we spent so much time on them. Like, they have a path to still get in. But I do wonder, because Lincoln Riley's teams historically have fizzled.
Yes.
And now you're 3-3. In all three of these games, you've blown the lead. I mean, you were up 20-6 at halftime against Penn State, and you blew that lead. You were up on Michigan late in the game. You blew that lead. You should have won that game. And now you got to trust that this team, they should beat Maryland. Rutgers is kind of falling apart. Like, the next couple games.
Maryland's definitely falling apart. Like, I know the jokes we made. Well, it's October. That's what happens. But Rutgers' problem is, like, we talked about Notre Dame injuries. Rutgers has the same thing.
And they got absolutely smashed by Wisconsin, a team that USC did come back to beat. So, look, I know we've joked about it, and like 2 weeks ago, I spent kind of very tongue-in-cheek spending time saying, oh, I thought these games don't matter. Like, I don't know about you. I've always been on board with the 12-team playoff. I'm even more in on it this year. Like, I think this is the perfect year where it looks like Texas is the best team in the country. Maybe we find out otherwise on Saturday, but everybody seems to be a bit vulnerable. Like, look at Oregon. We wrote them, I don't say wrote them off, but we questioned them quite a bit. Hey, you barely beat Idaho. You barely beat Boise State. You probably should have lost to Boise State. And then they went out there and beat Ohio State. Now, was it a dominant victory? No. There was some weird stuff late in that game, obviously, that got them to the finish line, but they still got there.
They didn't look like, would I honestly bet Ohio State again, no, even knowing it was square? I would. I did feel like down-to-down Ohio State was better, but I'll openly admit this. It was way closer than I expected it to be. Oregon handled them on the line of scrimmage.
And Gabriel played his best game
yes.
by far. He was great. And there's a reason now he's the number two favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. He was awesome. He made deep throws. He used his legs, which we hadn't really seen so far this year. And, you know, I don't know what to think about Penn State. You know, this is a team that I've got a lot of questions about. And we'll find out in a couple weeks when they host Ohio State who they really are. Look, Penn State is now -2,000, I think. No, -750, excuse me, to make the playoff. Like, you look at that schedule. They play Wisconsin in 2 weeks on the road at Camp Randall. Maybe Wisconsin's getting a little bit better. But, I mean, that's a team that should be 11-1 at worst going into championship weekend.
Yeah, and honestly, like, maybe we'll find out that it said more about USC. I was impressed with Penn State because that's the type of game that under Franklin they haven't won. They get down, they've gotten punched in the mouth, and they're not really great coming from behind. Aller made plays that I don't think I've seen him make, and like, I don't know. I did find myself thinking a little bit differently about this Penn State team than I have other ones, because that, to me, like, that was the classic game that they lose and they didn't.
You know, and here's the thing, too, looking ahead to the playoff, like, the reason I've been so excited for the playoff is that opening weekend. And if it's Boise State who makes it out of the G5, and I know Memphis fans obviously would prefer it to be Memphis, but let's just say it's Boise State, I don't think they're going to be the 12 seed. I think they're going to be better than that. And I think if they go up to, like, number 10 or so, and let's say they play, let's say they play Notre Dame or someone like that.
All right,
I think they'll be competitive. We probably will get a blowout because it just happens because it's football. But I think all of those teams are going to be relatively on the same playing field. Now, if it's Army, I don't think that's going to be pretty. But I think the majority of these teams are kind of on the same playing field. And, you know, I whoever wins the Big 12 and gets the bye, if they do get the bye over Boise State, they'll probably be a dog in the quarterfinals. Like, it's shaping up this year that there's a lot of parity out there. Not to saying that 10 teams can win the title, but I think the number four team through 24 are all pretty comparable.
Yes, I agree with you on that. What I'm curious is, I don't know, did you have this feeling either? And again, maybe Saturday will happen and it'll change my mind again or whatnot. I wouldn't say change my mind, but it would change the data. As awesome as the Ohio State-Oregon game was, I found myself watching and was like, these guys aren't in the same I was like, these guys are closer. They're in the class of Alabama, Georgia. I think they're not in the class of Texas. And that's what I'm starting to wonder. Is anyone else in that
Texas? You think Texas is in their own class?
Yes. And again,
that's why I bet Georgia. And it's more of a, that's kind of the narrative that's the narrative that I've been hearing a lot, that it's like Texas and everybody else. And, you know, I consumed everything as much as possible over the weekend, and that's kind of what came out of it, because Georgia, outside of what some may deem a fluky second half where they were, you know, converting fourth downs and they were desperate, you know, maybe Georgia is flawed. I think they are. They're not as good as they have been.
So here's what see if you buy this. At times, Beck has thrown some bad picks.
Yes, for sure.
I think what we're struggling with is, if you ask me which unit of Georgia do I believe in, I believe in their offense.
Yeah, I mean, they
their defense to me has, like, really just kind of at times just looked like very, very vulnerable.
I mean, Carson Beck quietly threw up 459 against Mississippi State.
They had like 600 and something yards, and we were acting like, you know what I mean? Like, the offense kind of was, you know, he threw two bad red zone picks, and that's what kept them from covering a massive number.
I'll say this about Georgia. What I love, what I've always said, why I love working in sports, especially more on the gambling side, is, you make your arguments, games get played, and then you have a result.
Show us the ticket.
You know, it's like, I was right, I was wrong. And, you know, when you debate other things, it's not always the case where you're doing hypotheticals and who's better, who's worse. But in this sense, when was the last time Kirby Smart, and I know motivation can only go so far, but when was the last time Kirby Smart could go into his locker room and say, nobody believes in you? He lied and said that about TCU, and then we got the great coach like, people are picking us to go 6-6. Like, who the hell was doing that? No one was.
You made up a message board post.
Right. But this is real. Like, they actually can play the underdog role here. I mean, that hasn't happened in how long at Georgia?
I'm looking
six,
it up.
6-7 years?
Because I mean, even in Saban,
like in 2017, when they came on to, when they kind of came into their own, I think they made the national title that year.
So was that the 17 season, 18 playoffs?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so the last time they were an underdog, one of those COVID years was weird.
They were at Georgia, they were at Bama, and they lost, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to see the last time they were an actual underdog.
But regardless, while you look that up, I mean, I don't think, Look, I don't think Texas is 2019 LSU. That's my point.
So the last time they were an underdog, oh, we should have known this because this was a free bet. It was the Clemson game in Charlotte with JT Daniels and DJ Uiagalelei. They closed as like a 2.5-point dog.
And they won 10-3 or something.
Yes. That was, I don't, if I recall, the score was a defensive score.
Yeah. Yeah, it was ugly. So that was the last time they were an underdog.
So since 2017, they've been an underdog 6 times, and it's happened on average once per year.
And they've, you hear my point, though? Like,
I'm with you, totally.
LSU in 19, and I tried a couple times to get in front of that freight train, and that was not fun. Like, they proved eventually that they were one of the greatest football teams in college football history. I think Texas is really, really, really good. And they deserve to be number one. I don't even think, let me pull up someone's power ratings right now.
So, I don't get, okay, see, this would be my only argument to you. I agree with you in terms of offensive firepower. That team is not 2019 LSU. I do think Texas' defense is better than that LSU's defense was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the LSU offense was just unstoppable.
I mean, the LSU offense was a cheat code. I mean, all you need to know is those guys are tearing up the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Jefferson can't be covered in the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase can't be covered in the NFL. Burrow appears to be more than fine. So Georgia since 2017 has only been an underdog twice in a season. It was the Notre Dame game that we've talked about in 2017. They were also an underdog against Bama that year. 2018, they were an underdog against Bama in the championship game. 2019, they were only an underdog in the championship game against LSU. 2020, I think that might have just been a regular season game against Bama. I don't think that was the title game because I think Bama that year beat like Florida. The problem is, do you know Kirby's record as a dog?
It's probably not good because he's only been in a couple times, right?
Yeah, he's 2-4. 2-4.
So the 2-1s are Notre Dame and Clemson.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, we get into our awards. We'll do that next. Also, coming up during hour number two, we're going to talk about those big NFL trades, how they could impact the rest of the NFL season. And we did get a bit of a clue into what the Big Ten and the SEC are up to. We'll do all that coming up in the second hour. But when we come back, we get into the list. Before we do that, I want to remind you that, of course, it is October, and that means that it is Golftober over at Birdies, but also it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and if you stop by Birdies on this Saturday, so that's October the 19th, if you're one of the first 100 people to order one of our beers or fantastic cocktails, you can receive a Birdies Breast Cancer Awareness shirt. So also, make sure you go, and you can also, when you are 10% of the receipts from Saturday will also go to the Breast Cancer Society of Memphis. So Courage Through Cancer as well. So it's going to be a good day, a great cause over at Birdies against this Saturday, October the 19th. So make sure you go and support Birdies and go support a great cause. Again, one of the first 100 people will receive a Birdies Eliminate Cancer Score fantastic t-shirt. All the information over up on their Instagram page at Birdies901. We come back, we get into the list. Or beg your pardon, we get into our awards, then the list. We'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Each and every Tuesday, we hand out our weekly awards from the week that was in college football. Tim Murray joining me, of course, of VSiN. Is there a case for anyone not named Oregon being the team of the week?
No, unless you're trying to get cute. No, that is the team of the week. Look, preseason, I loved Oregon. I said they were slightly better than Ohio State. Maybe I was trying to be a little bit different. And I had certainly come back off of that thought process. And, you know, if Oregon doesn't put 12 men on the field and confuse Ryan Day, if Will Howard slides a second earlier, Ohio State might win that game. And it's a little bit different, but they didn't. And the fact is, the results matter, and they went out there and they did the damn thing. That was really impressive by Oregon to show up and win that game in that fashion. So, yeah, I think they, unless you're getting, you know, cute, I think they have to be your team of the week.
Okay, so I know Ryan, or not Ryan, I know Dan Lanning mentioned that they were essentially going with the Polish defense, the Buddy Ryan, put too many guys on the field, confused them in a late clock situation. They're not going to put time back on the clock, so there's strategy there. I'm not convinced the onside kick was an onside kick.
I don't think it was.
I think he hit it bad. I think it worked out beautifully, but I think he just... That's not really an onside kick. Do you realize how hard it is, even for these kickers that are good, to just drill it that low, hit it like they do, and then it hit someone? Like, that's not... I'm just not convinced that was an onside kick. You can totally... I'll totally believe him on the 12 men. I'm not convinced that was an onside kick. I think that just worked out.
Did they say it was?
I mean, they've been calling it an onside kick.
I mean, technically, by the letter of the law, it was, but there's no way that wasn't. I mean, it was a great play and a massive swing for Oregon to get it, but if you told your kicker, hey, kick a line drive as hard as you can at the up guy, it ain't happening.
The other problem is I've seen a lot of styles of onside kicks. I've never really seen one where it's, hey, drill the up guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't either. But that was a cool play. You know what's funny? And let me ask you, because we had so Mike Sanford, who has been everywhere. He joins my show every Saturday morning. He's been the OC at Notre Dame, Colorado, most recently Minnesota. He was Jordan Love's OC at Utah State, whatever. And he said what you said, which was Autzen is overrated as a home field advantage. He felt like it, you know, it's not enclosed.
It's a good environment, but it's not like the, it's not what it's built to be. I guess that's my thing.
Yeah, and he said, I'm trying to remember which one was the most daunting environment that he had coached at.
I want to say Utah State played at LSU.
He did. Yeah, he said he went there. I think they were up on LSU too, but he didn't utilize that. It was the 2015 Notre Dame team went to they went to Clemson, and it was like a hurricane game. Deshaun Watson. It was a night game.
He said stadium's that real, because one of my old coaches. He played at UVA. And they played at the Big House. He's on the Clemson. When Clemson gets loud, that's as loud as it gets.
Yeah, he said that was the most that he's coached in, because he was at Stanford for a while, and he said, yeah, Autzen's good, but he was like, it's not that. I thought that environment looked really, really good and really loud. So I'm not saying, you know, it's not SEC like. You know, and once again, I go back and, you know, I guess you could say, if you want to say team of the week is LSU. I mean, that was a really nice win. Nussmeier played really, really well. And give him his flowers, man. That dude is, I mean, how many times has he thought he's going to have the job and didn't get it at
LSU?
On
top of that, he made game-changing plays. And I'm not talking about just the throws. His ability to escape pressure. Because there was a lot of Ole Miss people who are upset that they didn't heat him up enough. I thought he did an unbelievable job of bailing out of pressure, avoiding sacks, and then still making big time throws. But to me, it's like I think if you go anywhere other than Oregon, I think you're kind of just trying to be different.
It's Oregon. It was the biggest game of the week, arguably the biggest game of the year, 2 versus 3. I was asking a couple people. I even asked Mike, and I asked a buddy of mine who's a Oregon alum, is this the biggest game in Autzen history? And I imagine there's a little Pac-12 nostalgia in them, saying it was some of the USC games, some of the Stanford games. It was this game. Like, you had the number two team in the country coming in, and you beat them. Like, this was the biggest game in that. I'm not saying the school history, because they played a national championship before, but this was the biggest home game that school's ever had, and they won it.
Sometimes just let the stadium tell you. The scene told me the answer to that one. You know what I mean?
You know who was happy about this?
You.
NBC.
they declared it the game of the century already.
Did they really?
This one, I think, was harder. Dumpster fire of the week.
UAB.
Yeah, but they...
Can you just give it to them every
week? Yeah, they've just quit. Like, I had two other thoughts.
God, I didn't bet Army.
I know.
I'm the dumpster fire.
Yeah,
week,
but the number now with Army is like, we're like paying 2019 LSU prices, but we don't have 2019 LSU.
I took East Carolina already.
I thought the other possibilities. I don't know what's going on with your boys in Maryland, but that's bad. Like, it's one thing for like when I take 11.5 and I feel good, but when I take 11.5 and then I don't even have to watch the fourth quarter.
Yes, it's nothing worse than having, like, this is kind of like with me with Kentucky, right? I turned off the game. I'm like, they might not even win, and they didn't. I'm like,
they're definitely not covering, but I know they're not going
to
win.
I laid 13 with them. I'm like, well, I don't have to watch this one. They're definitely not going to cover in that one. Straight up dumpster fire.
The other option I threw out is just NC State, and it's not necessarily on field results. But we got. Did you see the two girls fighting in the stands?
No.
You gotta look it up. It's an unreal fight video. But it's like we got infighting. It's because it's not. This is not like the Ravens fight where you had opposing. We're fighting in our own stands. We're fighting with ourselves.
I could throw out UNC. Did you see how that game ended?
Yeah. UNC's just in the what are we doing here category.
UNC played hard. You know, this is a team that gave up 70 to James
Madison. They haven't
Madison.
Quit. I give them that. Because even in the JMU game, like, that wasn't quitting. That was turnovers.
Yeah, so you give up 70 to JMU. Then you blow a 20-0 lead to Duke. Then you blow a lead to Pitt. And then Georgia Tech has basically conceded that they're just going to play for overtime, and the dude breaks a 68-yard run for a score, and they lose 41-34. New Mexico State?
Yeah, I chalk that up to that's just the power of Diego Pavia and Jerry Kill. Like, that's been a horrible job. Those two guys get there, and they turn them into winners. And now look what they're doing at Vanderbilt. Like, it's those two guys are just winners.
Diego for Heisman?
Well, you know who. I mean, like I said, the Heisman's not a big enough award for him. Like, I need something that's more.
Is he even going to show up for this week's game against Ball State?
He better not.
Is there a worse situational spot this week than Vandy versus Ball State? You just beat Alabama.
He should
Alabama.
Not play this week.
He shouldn't.
He got banged up big time against Kentucky.
And you play Texas next week at home.
Yeah, get 2 weeks off.
Because come that's the let the boys from Muncie have a little life, okay?
Yeah.
Let me bet Ball State plus 26.5 and you guys take the week off, win by 10, get closer to bowl eligibility, and then get Diego well rested for Texas.
A huge hey man, you can even sit him against Texas.
No, like, don't do that.
Like, well,
the world needs Diego against Texas, especially if Texas wins.
If he takes down Alabama, Texas in the same.
He wins the Heisman Trophy.
Oh my God! Could you? I mean,
imagine this. This would be the most amazing thing of all time. What if they lost this weekend and beat Texas? They would have losses to Georgia State and Ball State and wins over Alabama and Texas.
Yeah, but that would also go to our. You can't ever bet on Diego as a favorite. Diego doesn't get out of bed unless he's a double-digit dog. That's what you got to get him. All right, my Heisman winner of the week. I'm just going with Tyler Warren just to give a guy some shine.
Absolutely.
But he was awesome. He even snapped the ball. Like,
Can you read his stats for people who don't know who Tyler Warren is?
Tyler Warren is technically on paper, the tight end for Penn State, but he's really just a playmaker. 17 catches for 224 yards and a touchdown. He had one carry for 4 yards. He was also 1-for-1 passing for 9. And again, he snapped the football on a trick play.
I'm going to give some love to my guy on Friday night, Cam Scatabo, the Arizona State running back, 158. This dude is just a truck running down the field. I love this dude.
He's an electric guy, so that gets us to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.